and 7 p.m. and monitoring.
KFA CPP monitoring. KFA CPP will be going clear.
Kilo Echo 8 Yankee Alpha Victor Mobile. Kilo Echo 8 Yankee Alpha Victor Mobile.
How you doing, WAYRC?
Well, good evening to you, sir. How are we doing? Any big plans for Thanksgiving tomorrow?
Yeah, I gotta work tonight, 10 o'clock tonight till 6 a.m. And I see the Lions game is on at 12:30. That sucks because I thought I'd go early afternoon down to my son's house down to Commerce Township. But it looks like I get a short nap in the morning and go play ham radio down to his house and watch the Lions game and eat turkey. And I have to make an early evening head back home because I got to work tomorrow night at 10. So we'll make it all happen, I guess. Just not what I was planning. But security guard at Lapeer McLaren Hospital, so we don't get days off.
I got you. Yeah, that sounds like fun. Well, I'm glad that you will be getting some turkey tomorrow with some friends and family. I know I will definitely be watching the Lions game tomorrow. Well, my name's Andrew. Thanks for getting back to me. Hope you're having a good day. And I'm actually mobiling on I-69 right now. I'm about to go through. About to get onto 496 and head north up to Langsburg to see my grandparents for Thanksgiving. So I greatly appreciate you getting back to me.
Hey, no problem. I don't like, when somebody puts out a call and you don't get a reply when all these repeaters are linked. There's like, okay, where's everybody at? Was there a rapture I didn't know anything about? So it's just funny how it happens like that. Sometimes, like, yeah, I'll pick up that later. Or somebody else will pick that radio up, that mic up and talk. It never happens, so real good. Yeah, enjoy your festivities tomorrow. I'm just going to try not to eat too much, but that's not guaranteed.
Yeah, no doubt. You said this was a link repeater system. What system is this?
Well, I'm in Lapeer. You're using a Lansing repeater. There's one in Fenton, Saginaw, and Flint, and Guilford. This is linked with WACMN. I'm trying to think of the name of it. Anyway, it's all linked together with different repeaters. So I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 repeaters, 6 repeaters, something like that.
Gotcha. Yeah, I live in Battle Creek, and my grandparents, they live in Langsburg, so not often do I get to drive around Lansing and hop on their repeaters here, so that's very very cool to hear. I'll definitely have to save this one in the old radio over here, but yeah, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, Andrew. I know I told you the name is Mike, but anyway, it works works out pretty good, you know, that way better coverage when we head north or whatever, you know, it just, and you're over there on the west side, so, yeah, this extends a little range there. All right, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to have to lay down before I go to work tonight and kind of get some extra sleep because tomorrow may not be a whole lot, so. 7-3, have a safe trip and enjoy the meal tomorrow and family. W8YRC.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Yeah, you have a great Thanksgiving. Hope you have a good shift, and hopefully I will talk to you here again. So I'll say 7-3 to you, KE8YAV, clear.
Whiskey 028, Oscar monitoring. Whiskey 028, Oscar monitoring.
How are you doing, WAYRC?
Yeah, I didn't catch you on WAYRC, it sounded like. Doing good. Yeah, just traveling here from Georgia with my parents. I did some repeaters here.
Yeah, I didn't catch your call. My name is Mike. We're located here in Lapeer, Michigan. And, yeah, we've got some people traveling here and there and everywhere. I'd rather probably travel on the ground and the air. At least you know you're going to get there. Ground, the air, like last year, man, they were all tied up. Hopefully the weather cooperates and everybody gets where they got to go. Very stressful until you get to your destination. Then you can relax, but flying stuff, I don't know. No guarantees you're going to get there, I guess.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, it's a Whiskey 0, Juliet Oscar. We drove up Sunday, I guess it was. And so we control our destiny for the most part there. That's how we do it now. So, two kids and a dog. We have two dogs. The dogs were more expensive to fly up than the kids. So, but anyway, yeah, just finished up a bunch of work I was doing while up here, and poked my head up, basically, to join Michigan now, so I'm going to go spend some time with family and cook and spend the next couple of days before I go back. It was good talking to you. Thanks for the reach out.
Yeah, enjoy. 7-3. Have a good day tomorrow. W8YRC. Safe trip back.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Clear the repeater.
KF-80YL monitoring. KF-80YL is monitoring. KF-80YL monitoring. KF-80YL monitoring. KV8OE mobile.
OOE, it's been a while. I think I've talked to you before, time or two. Name's Ken here. How are you doing this evening?
About that, my radio turned itself off. Name here is Mike. Just out running the roads trying to get a few things done.
Yeah, I hear that. I'm just here finishing my cigar in the shack here. Waiting for my daughter to arrive. She's been at Ohio State in second year of pharmacy school, so I haven't seen her in several months. Be good to see her. She's supposed to arrive next hour or so, I think. That'll be fun.
Turkeys in the brine right now, and be smoking them tomorrow. That ought to be interesting.
Yeah, I've had this cigar lit for, this is a 5x60 Oliva V here, so it's been going for a little bit, but yeah, different people do it differently, that's for sure.
I think I'm pretty lucky. I've been out here running the roads. I haven't seen any deer since earlier today.
You know, I don't think the deer have been moving too much in the last day or two. I got a bunch of cameras on my property here, and the last 2 days have been really quiet. They're not moving for some reason the last couple of days.
Maybe they're getting wise. Yeah, they, well, I kind of hate to knock any of them down this time of year, you know, see the guys knock them down, because if they don't drop them in the spot, they're a lot easier to track when there's some snow on the ground.
Yeah, I hear that. Years ago, I took a shot at one, and it didn't drop. You know, I had to track it, and I was just tracking it, and I didn't get that one, but I tracked it, and I was like, God, man, I wish there was snow on the ground, I could track it further, but I don't think I hit it good enough. It just killed me that I don't like wounding or... He was like one of the ones where I just wounded, and man, kind of kills me inside when that happens. But I wish there was snow on the ground so I could track it further. But it was not to be, I guess.
Yeah, I'm taking them right down into swamps. Been out over my head in water trying to get them.
Well, there's still a really nice tall six. I mean, it's only a six, but man, it's a really nice six on this property, on my cameras that keep showing up. And there's an 11 point that keeps showing up, but they, you know, of course, it's, you know, 3 a.m. when they show up on the cameras, so they're not moving around during the day just yet. They're kind of hunkering down right now. They'll come back out in early December.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, they get a little stupid. Point time they get stupid, they'll, you can just about fire on them a couple times and they won't even leave if there's a doe in close by.
Yeah, I think that time has come and gone. That time for here was about the third week of October this year. It was the second week of October, but this year was third week of October. They were getting really busy. They were out during the day and all that, but I wasn't bow hunting. I was somewhere else having to work, so I just seen them on the camera. I was like, oh man, it's like 8:30 in the morning, and there's the 11 point walking around right by my stand. Like, man,
they get pretty aggressive. I don't know. We have another quick cold snap. Lasts a couple more days in a row. Real good cold snap. They might jump at it again. I don't know. Been a weird year, that's for sure.
Well, I think they were forecasting snow here for the next couple of days, at least sitting snow anyway. So it's supposed to be a fair bit colder. It's been high in the 40s here. Next few days supposed to be high in the low 30s and lows in the low 20s. So maybe we'll see something move. I don't know. I'm not going to go out again until probably muzzleloader season out back here. But I know they're still around. I see them on the cameras. They're there. They just need to start walking around during the day.
Buddy's going out in the morning. He gets to shoot them out the window. His wife off. She drives bus or runs dispatch, but she'll help him get up there in the truck. Hopefully gets back there good enough, doesn't tear the truck up. His truck, he got a deer already, but he got it with the truck. And hopefully he don't tear his wife's truck up too, but he hit that one on the way out there to get it to go hunt. Hit it with his S10, kind of blew up the one whole side of that poor truck. He knocked the life out of that truck.
Well, yeah, that doesn't sound like any fun when your truck gets all beat up like that. That's no good.
Beef. B-800E mobile.
TF-80, wow, yeah, it's yeah, I know they're still around here. I see them on the cameras. I'm gonna go out. I kind of wanted to go out the next few days with the gun still, but I probably won't be able to get out till muzzleloader again.
I haven't done much muzzleloader shooting. I got a bunch of buddies that are purists that want to get into it a whole bunch more. I don't know. I don't know if I really want to do that cap and ball stuff. You do it with a primer. There's a pretty good odds you're not gonna have a problem with it not going off. You know.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of work, especially when you're doing practice shooting and stuff. It's a whole bunch of work, but yeah, when you go out hunting, it's kind of the same because it just sits in the, it's all loaded and ready to go. So it's kind of like the same. You just got to make your first shot count because you're not getting the second one real quick.
Change over to the Bay City machine, KB8OLE.
You're still sounding pretty good. There was no problems. Your audio is good. No background noise. KF-80, well.
Maybe 8-0, I think I ought to be all right now.
Yeah, you're in there. You're sounding fine. No problem. Good audio, minimal background noise. A little bit, but very minimal.
Just switched it up to the Bay City.
How do I sound, by the way? I did do a new antenna base. Antenna and everything else is the same, but I kind of changed up the base a little bit there. Is it still sounding pretty good?
It sounds pretty good, I think.
Well, I guess that's all that matters. As long as I can be heard and nobody's complaining, that's a good thing.
What machine are you coming in on?
I'm on the Guilford repeater, but I think they have a bunch of voters for receivers, so I'm not really sure which voter I'm coming in on.
Yeah, that'd be the Bay City machine. They do. They have a voter set up on there. I'm over here by Mayville, Fostaria, Millington area.
Yeah, it's been a while. I know there's a WATMN website that showed the voters and which one you might be coming in on, but I don't have the means to look at that at the moment while I'm transmitting, so I don't know what voter I'm coming in on, but I know I'm receiving on the Guilford repeater.
KB8OLE, I'm running this junk radio. I'm only doing about 20 watts. I need to get a steady vehicle and stop moving cars around. That way I can put my Kenwood in.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. I have the same problem. I have several different vehicles I move around to, so I'm always running kind of a rigged setup. But I make it work. It's all right.
Yeah, do you live up that way? I remember talking to you, but I don't remember if I ever asked if you live up that way. I live in Lapeer County, northwestern Lapeer County.
I'm in Birch Run, or about 5 miles west of Birch Run or so. So closer to Birch, but yeah, Birch Run.
I don't know about where you're at. Yeah, I live right in town of Columbiaville.
Yeah, I know where that is. We looked at a few houses there before we bought this one. There was one house we looked at there that had a plywood basement wall. I've never seen that before. I've heard of it, but I've never seen it before. Yeah, I just remember it because it was like this Columbiaville house we looked at, and it had this plywood basement wall that was like, yeah, I don't know if I want a house with a plywood basement wall in the dirt. I don't know. That just doesn't sound good.
Yeah, my dad built one of those. I told him it was nuts. And it's in blow sand where he's at, but I still don't trust him at all.
Yeah, the rest of the house looked really nice. It was kind of a contender, but I was like, I told my wife, I'm like, I don't like this plywood basement. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't think I trust it. And I don't think we should consider this one anymore.
I've debated buying it off of him. It's you know what they got for footings under those?
I have no idea offhand. If I had a few minutes, I might be able to think of some footings that might be proper for that, but no, I don't.
If you're sitting down, I'll tell you. They use D-Rock for footing.
All right, well, that gives you a little bit of drainage, but I don't know, the plywood against dirt, that part just, I don't know how you get over that.
I still can't believe it's legal.
Well, especially in the thumb areas, you know, it's all flat and sand and the water is just moving around. And where I'm at now, I'm still in the Saginaw Basin here in the Birch Run, and it's Yeah, that water sometimes just comes out of nowhere and is against your walls, and the sump pump just starts going to beat hell for days on end, and then it'll just stop. It doesn't matter if there's rain or not. It just seems to come out of nowhere sometimes. So if you got plywood walls, how does that really work?
I had 5 properties between Akron and Fairgrove up there. And I swear to God, I'd tell people, you know, if I stuck a shovel in the ground, I expect it to turn into a pond.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it is here. If you go more than a foot or 2 deep in the spring especially, it's going to just fill with water. So this whole area is just all water.
And clay up there.
Yeah, we nixed that one off the list because of that. So, and I'm kind of glad I did.
Imagine trying to replace that.
Yeah, you know, we got a house up in the Keweenaw, and that has a rock basement. There's no water there at all. If it was there, I still might question it, but I know there's no water pressing up against it all the time.
KB8OEM. Turn it up and head into Vassar.
You're getting a little bit scratchy, but you're still very audio. Can't say any well.
Here, who the breaking station was, go ahead.
Roger that, I'm outside on the handheld. I just wanted to know how it's sounding and my reach and reaching real okay.
Well, the audio is a little muffled sound. It doesn't have too much high end. It's all low end.
Yeah, roger that. It only has 5 watts, so so much
material. You were almost 100% into the machine. It's just the audio. It's sounds like the radio is underwater. It's ain't quite that bad, but it's really heavy on the lower lows and mids, and not enough high, so you're not getting the S's and T's on the signal. But the signal's solid into whatever machine you're working.
Yeah, roger that. I just took off the mic. Maybe the mic's the problem. Now talking directly to the radio.
Yeah, you sound a bunch better now. What do you think, Ken? Does he sound better now than he did before?
Yeah, I agree with that. He sounded muffled and very low before. It's definitely better without the mic. It's still a little bit low, but much better than it was previously. Yeah, we're on to that, right? Information. These plug-in mics seem to get distorted. They're cheap. I think I'm just going to throw it out and just use through the handheld itself. Over.
Hit and miss. Crack that microphone open and make sure. And if you have to, stuff something in it and heat it with a lighter first and open that hole up a little bit. That might help you. But you'll know as soon as you look into it. If it's got that foam in there, that open cell foam, to keep the bugs out of it, well, make sure that's good and clean and dry before you put it back in.
Yeah, that transmission I couldn't copy other than one word at a time. I don't know if it's my radio or something going on with the repeater.
How bad was it, Ken? I'm I'm only running like 20, 25 watts.
I heard you, OOE, no problem. I heard the other station too. I would almost say, is the mic you had, was it a waterproof version? Because those waterproof versions tend to be sound exactly like that, like you sounded. So everybody seems to want a waterproof mic, but then they get them and they sound all muffled like that. But yeah, you open it up a little bit. I heard both. I heard OOE, no problem. So not sure what else was going on there.
KFAA, wow. Yeah, roger that, roger that. Sorry to interrupt your conversation. I just wanted to see how this thing out. So, okay, 73 is the most of you. Kilo Echo 8, Oxford Hotel, Victor, 33, goodbye.
73, have a good evening, and have a happy holiday if we don't hear from you again. I would open it up and just do a visual inspection on it, make sure that any of that stuff in there, any and everything's clean, and then if the hole is really tiny, just open it up, you know, just open it up so it moves a little bit more audio in and out of there, and it should be all right. KB8 OOE.
Roger that, roger that. Thank you for that advice. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you, and we'll catch you all later.
I gave, when we were deer hunting around the opening season, I gave my dad a GMRS radio, and I used a couple of GMRS radios between our group, and my dad was out in the rain, and it sounded kind of exactly like he did. I'm like, you got some water on it. You got some water on that, on the microphone hole or something, because it's an IP66 radio, but if you get water over that microphone, it sounds kind of exactly like that. I'm like, Dad, just blow into the microphone. Well, where's, you know, he's 85 years old. I'm like, where's the microphone? I'm like, hey, it's right above the top right of the screen. Just blow on the top right of the screen there. He did that, and it cleared it right up.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about exactly. I usually hog them just a little bit, maybe 30% bigger, and it helps, but, you know, any of those, and you can... when I was a kid, I had an HDX 202, and, man, back then, they were expensive. All this stuff was expensive. And I listened to that thing going off until the bottom of the river. And I go off the boat, had my buddy grab the boat with his boat. And I swam down there and swam right down to it. It kept on playing. And I got it out of there and turned it off. And I tore it all apart and set it on the heater. And, you know, dried it out. And that thing lived. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I hear you on that. I wasn't a radio guy back when I was a kid in the 80s, but... I kind of knew about some people who were, and yeah, I know how expensive that stuff was back then and how that equipment was. It wasn't like it is today, that's for sure.
I think I bought the year warranty, it covered everything. Seems like it was over $300 for that radio, but I wore out the battery because I used that thing every single day. When I first got into the hobby, I was so happy to be on the air with something besides the CB radio. I was all over that.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know what my problem was. I just got a ham ticket here back last April, so I'm a fairly new guy. But I got a whole bunch of radios now, and yeah, I'm all into it. I got different, yeah. My new wife's like, "Why you got so many radios?" I set them all out on the floor once, and she's like, "You got like 18 different types of radios." I'm like, no, I need this one for this. That one does that, and this one does this. Yeah,
It's an experience.
Yeah, I think I have 3, 4, 5, 6 jump radios now.
I bought a DMR radio not too long ago. I just... I know this is going to be like a many days experience for me to learn how to program this and get on certain things with it. And I'm, yeah, so I bought one of those and I haven't used it yet.
Yes, maybe it always. I picked up a Hermes light too, and I liked it so much I bought two more.
Yeah, the DMR one I bought is a TYT, I think. It's a mobile version, but you can use it, you know, just hook it up to a DC source, it's fine, but I'll figure out how to use it here when I get time one of these days.
Well, and then I'm a QRP nut, so also got each version of the 5-bander True SDX right from the source when I bought it, and some are nice little radios. I got to print some cases for those, 3D print. I got a couple 3D printers. I got to get one of them up and going, or I should get all 5 of them up and running.
Yeah, there always seems to be something I'm looking at, or, just you got some stuff, and you got to figure out how to use, and gonna get into this or that. It's gonna come. KF8AYL.
Have you jumped up to general yet, or are you studying, or what class are you in? You've been in for a while. Sounds like you're definitely staying interested in it.
I'm currently just a tech. I'll probably go get a general at some point here, just so I can, because I kind of like some of the lower frequencies there, but I don't think the extra is anything I might do, but I'll probably go get a general.
I'll tell you what, you get on there and start polluting on that general light with that general license, and then you find out. A lot of people don't think them extra bits, them extra slivers of spectrum allocation or all that, but I'll tell you, ain't nobody there. All the old guys are dead. And anybody you meet on there, it's going to be a completely different conversation. I've met a lot of doctors, lawyers, bankers, electronics freaks. I mean, anybody you could possibly imagine. A lot of radio astronomers, beekeepers, musicians, awful lot of musicians on the extra portion. And I've never had a bad conversation. Now, when I hang with the crew on 7200, now that turns into a mess quite often.
Sounds like exactly like if you go into a proper cigar shop. You just meet everybody. There's judges, there's the factory worker, there's the IT guy, there's everybody. And they're all just sitting there smoking cigars and having a bullshit. Yeah, maybe that's something that does appeal to me.
Phenomenal. I mean, just being able to do the general stuff is just unreal. You get so much more, and the 40 meters is a great, great band, and it'll work on a city lot. You got to do a little bit of planning to get on 80 meters and 160 on a city lot. You can do that too, but it's a little more difficult. But 10 is my favorite, and it's been open quite a bit, and I've got a lot of global contacts, a very, very low power on 10 meters, and I really enjoy that. It's probably my favorite band.
Yeah, I'll get the general. I'll get it here at some point. There's just a lot of stuff going
trying to build a barn and move his UP and new radios and HF radios and stuff. It's coming. I will be there. I'm pretty sure of it, but it's just a matter of when.
You've been up to the UP quite a bit here recently.
Oh, I have. I'm building a barn up there right now. I just stopped for the snow because the snow started flying.
Was that you coming across on tour wherever we were at that I talked to on 146520 Simplex?
It might have been. I was talking to somebody on Simplex on across to about 2.5 weeks ago, maybe. But usually when I'm in that area, I'm on what I call the Cook Tower, which is in Cook, Michigan there. It's pretty wide-ranging UHF tower there, but it might have been. I don't know. I did talk to somebody on Simplex on US-2 about 2.5 weeks ago.
Northern Lights were, and they had that buggy rally going on up there, and you were heading towards the bridge, and I was heading up to the Keweenaw.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. That might have been me.
For something you drive, yeah?
I didn't catch that last one. What did you say?
One of the guys I talked to was driving a Jeep. I don't know if it was a pickup or what. Was driving a Jeep, I think, heading towards the bridge, and I was heading up towards the Keweenaw.
Yeah, I'm driving a Jeep light vehicle. I'm driving a 73 K5 Blazer with a soft top. So, kind of like a Jeep, but much bigger. But I was definitely not in a Jeep. And I would never have said I was in a Jeep. So, if you heard Jeep, it wasn't for me. I knew that wasn't me, because I would have never said Jeep.
Good man. Every time I get a hold of one of them Jeeps, I just flip it over and get rid of it. Not that they're not good, but if you got a frame, you've got a Jeep. But I got to unload. I'm up here in Vassar. But I'm sure it was you I talked to. I think you were heading down this way. It must have been right before, the night before or the night of that day I was cruising across. And we went up to a big park up there, and there's people everywhere looking at the Northern Lights, and it was a great display. It was, closer to 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, about a month and a half ago, the Northern Lights were very prominent, and almost every night for a good week and a half or so there. It was a great display, a great show.
I'm sure I talked to you coming across there because I hollered about every 5 or 10 minutes on Simplex. Because, you know, you get way out in the middle of nowhere, somebody's monitoring.
Yeah, I've done that. You just turn it over to the Simplex and start throwing it out there and see. Because, you'll see guys with it. Guys, that's a ham antenna on that car there. I can see it. Let's see if that guy's
going to
respond.
Yeah, I use it all the time, you know. A lot of people don't want to get on Simplex, but you'd be shocked. This morning there's a bit of a band opening, so I was trying to get on there a little bit more. But hey, listen, I got to head in. I got to shut this crate off, and I got to unload and head in. Your girlfriend's unloading everything. She's going to be madder than a wet chicken. 73, this is KB800E.
Yeah, good chatting with you. Have a good evening. KF80 well.
Yeah, very well.